I know it's been a long and hectic day, but she has finally made an appearance here for the program, and we're happy to have her. Grab a seat. You don't need those. It's just us.
I was going to say. Well, I want to look, you know, important.
Well, if you want to wear the headset, Jeannie, go ahead, if it makes you feel better.
Okay, if you guys aren't.
Who knows who's worn them, right?
Right.
Yuck.
With this group, looking important is not going to be difficult. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Well, this has been a long day, huh?
It has. Long, but productive and fun.
I assume you'd rather do almost anything other than this, have one of these days. And I know periodically you've got to do this. You try and jam them all into one, and you got to. Now, you were doing a sparkling water thing earlier today, is that right?
Yeah, it was the launch of Coca-Cola's new product in Canada, Smart Water Sparkling. So that was an event I started with, and then I've been with Rogers and Sportsnet all day since
so
then.
Are you worn out now?
No, I'm happy to be here.
Okay.
If you keep asking me worn out, I'll be worn out.
Oh, all right. Well, is this the end of the trail, or have you got more
to
do?
I think we're near the end, but I think there's still more after you guys. So.
How do you feel physically at this point in time? I mean, as far as tennis is concerned, are you healthy?
Yes, I am healthy. And since Wimbledon, I've been working a lot in the gym and on the court as well. And so I'm hoping to, you know, take some small steps in the right direction with these next tournaments coming up.
You're working with Agassi, too. When was that you were able to hit the court with him?
That was a week ago or even less. I was out in Vegas, and so I was very lucky and grateful and honored to have him on the court with me and, you know, just get a little bit of insight in his brain. He's so smart about tennis.
What's the best piece of advice maybe he gave you or anything in particular he left you with?
Well, just the way he sees the game, the tactical way. He just said tennis is simple and people are complicated. And, you know, we just kind of talked about some basic maybe patterns and things I want to do on the court. And so that helped me a lot.
Andre's an interesting subject. Have you read his book?
Of course, yes.
You did. Okay. So you understand what he went through, how he came to hate the game and almost hated his father for pushing him into the game and walked away from it for a period of time and then rediscovered the game of tennis. How has that influenced you, if at all?
It's really interesting hearing from him and from his trainer and from just like his experience of, you know, falling so low in the rankings and then coming back up to number one. I just think that is so impressive. And I feel there are some similarities to me who I was at a higher ranking than I am now and have dropped. So it's kind of gives you inspiration that, of course, you know, you can do it. Obviously, he's an amazing player and has won 8 Grand Slams and everything like that. But it shows that if you have it in you and if you do the work, then you can you know, still perform at that level and come back.
But he didn't like the game for a period of time. He didn't want to play for a period of time. I assume you haven't gone through that. Or have you?
Well, I love playing tennis, but obviously there are some really, really tough moments in a career like mine. And so I've definitely had my fair share of days where I'm like, this is so hard. Why am I doing this? Yeah. Like we all do, I think, in all of our jobs. But tennis is, or a you know, top sport where you're performing at the highest level has that extra amount of pressure and, you know, public attention. And so I think that that just adds to the stress level.
Do you get used to the attention? Do you find now a few years in and used to any of the white noise in the background, or is it still a disruption?
I mean, both. I've definitely learned a lot from just having attention after having good results. But at the same time, it's always still surprising. Not surprising, but I'm always just, you know, shy and grateful if someone asks me for a picture or if I'm in a place and people are around me or are following me or, you know, how crazy fans get at tournaments and things like that. So a part of me will always still, you know, think that's not normal because it's not. So how can you ever really get used to it?
You know, In May, during the hockey playoffs, I'm watching that, and it's difficult for me to keep up with a lot of other things, but in May, I watched the match with Sharapova, and I was riveted by it because, you know, it was very clear that she had something she wanted to prove that day, and you had something that you wanted to prove that day, which you did. And I was just wondering if you could take us through that day with Sharapova and everything you were feeling, because just watching it on TV and even online for a part I watched it, the emotion of a match in May that's not a Grand Slam, it was as thick as anything I've seen probably the rest of this year.
I've gotten a lot of kind of comments like that.
Really? Yeah, shocking. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I was on the court and I was motivated, and obviously there was all of the off-court controversy, which I think made into a very tense match. And I went out, and once I got on the court, I put everything else to the side, and I just wanted to, you know, play as well as I could. And I definitely had a little bit of extra motivation to kind of do it for all of us who have been fair to the sport and who have played the sport the true way it's meant to be played.
When that was over and you got back to your phone, I always ask, like, how many messages did you have? Were there a lot of people who texted you and said, thanks or good job?
There were a lot that day, and I really, you know, felt a lot of support within the tennis community as well. You know, players, coaches, agents, people from around the world who weren't necessarily there, just kind of saying, I'm glad you said that, and I support you, and I agree with you. And I just realized a lot of people were maybe a bit afraid to speak out, but that's how I am. So,
no regrets?
Of course not.
No. No, I mean, but sometimes we say things. I mean, we're all guilty of it. We say things, and later we think about it. Oh, well, I probably shouldn't have been a little, yeah, maybe I should have been a little softer about it or a little easier about it. But you're comfortable with what you said.
I am. Yeah, I got asked a question. I couldn't answer it not honestly.
Of course.
So for me, that's how I try to be.
Sports media, we should never complain about anybody saying anything honestly.
No, no, yeah. Of course not. But people do, you know, sometimes regret things that they say. In this case, that was not what happened. Define your game right now. Where do you think you're at?
I think I have the capabilities of getting my game to, let's say, where it was, although I don't really like to say that, because I want to be, you know, better than I was a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be better than you were a couple years ago, because everyone's always improving. But so I just want to be able to do that consistently. So I think I've had some good matches this year, some bad matches, and it's more about being able to perform week in, week out.
Is there one thing that you are working on now, physically or mentally, that you think is the most important?
Well, recently I had some injuries, and so I wasn't feeling my best physically. And mm-hmm. I think that's really important, because I think if you feel good physically, it can actually help you mentally. And it can give you confidence that even if you go three sets, you're like, okay, I can, you know, outlast my opponent, mm-hmm. or I'm not going to get tired, so I don't need to kind of go for crazy shots I wouldn't go for because I have the capabilities. So that's something I want to keep improving a lot. I think that's really important.
On the men's side right now, we're seeing kind of the renaissance of Federer and Nadal, and those top four, they're still hard to beat, but Murray and Djokovic, they've been beat up this year. On the women's side, with Serena expecting her baby, and Sharapova back, Azarenka back, Kvitova back from injury. They're back, but it still seems like any tournament is anyone's to win. As a player, do you see it that way compared to maybe in years past?
I do feel that way. I think it's very open, and I think that makes it really interesting for the fans, because you don't know what's going to happen almost any round, even the first round of a Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. Seeds are, you know, falling left and right. So I think it also gives the group of girls that's close to the top, like, belief that they have a chance. And I think there's an open spot for someone to maybe be a dominant number one, or, you know, be dominant throughout the season, like Serena usually is.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me, you know, just watching when I was growing up, if you got to 25 at tennis, you were done. Like, nobody really
age 25.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It was. And now you look at it now on mm-hmm. both the men's and women's side. I wonder just how much it's changed in the eyes of the players. Like, how long do you think now my peak in tennis is, or I can be a contender in tennis for how much longer now than maybe you thought when you were even younger?
It has definitely gotten older, because back in the day we had teenagers winning Grand Slams, and if that happens nowadays, that's definitely rare. So now I think the peak is definitely more mid-20s or late-20s, but you look at, I mean, obviously they're legends of the game, but you look at Roger or Venus, who are still playing amazing tennis yep. at their ages. So it's actually really spectacular to see.
You were with Venus yesterday, I think it was, or 2 days ago in Atlanta.
2 days ago,
you were able
yes.
to play in a match with her in Atlanta, where it was the first women's match ever,
yes.
right? Do you ever pick her brain, or pick legends like that's brains when you're with them?
Well, I got to play an amazing match with Venus in Atlanta, where it was a men's event, but they put a women's exhibition there, which was really, really cool. And it was sold out, and the crowd was, Atlanta crowd is amazing. They're so passionate and hospitable. But whenever I am around them, it's just always interesting to just hear them talk, even if it's not even about tennis. You kind of can just see how their brains work a little bit. And everyone who is so successful like that is definitely a bit different and unique. And
it's wired a certain way.
Yeah, it's really just special. They have this kind of aura as well, and it's always special to be around.
With Jeannie Bouchard, Brooke Henderson, have you met her?
I haven't met her.
Yeah, but you know who she is.
Of course.
Mm. I thought Brooke Henderson played too much golf last year. And I understand when you're 18 years old or 19 years old and you're it's new for you and you want to play a lot. But I thought she played a little bit too much, and she's pared her schedule back a bit this year. I'm wondering if you ever got to the point where you thought you were playing too much or too little.
I'm at a point right now where I feel like I've been playing too little, and that a part of it could be because of an injury or two. But also scheduling, it's hard to schedule in tennis because you don't know how well you're going to do at a tournament. And, you know, if you win that tournament, maybe it's tough physically to play the week right after.
Right.
And then maybe you take one off the schedule. But if you plan a schedule where you weren't going to play that week anyway, and then you lose first round, you're like, oh, I wish I was going to play that week. So it's pretty hard to schedule. But like from now on for me, for the rest of the season, I'm going to play almost every week because I feel like I've really don't have enough matches.
Do you make your own schedule, or do you have... Do your people make the schedule for you, if you will?
Well, at the end of the day, it's my career.
It's your choice.
So
yeah.
It is my choice. Obviously, I take into consideration the opinions of my coaches and the whole team. But yeah, for sure, for me, it's important to get match play. And so I understand trying to play a lot, because when I've lacked confidence or when I've wanted to improve, like, I've often decided, hey, I'll go play this extra tournament, even if it's smaller, and just get some matches. So that's kind of what I want to do now for the rest of the year.
So if you lose early in the week, because it's an interesting point you raise, if you lose early in the week, so now here you have 4 or 5 days where you're not playing competitive tennis.
That's right.
There are no options. So what are you doing? Are you just practicing? How do you, I mean, would you find another person who got knocked out and try and play a fun match? What do you do?
Well, it's sad. So you would just get right back to training and then travel to the next city where the tournament is the week after, and just play practice matches against other girls who lost early. For
you
sure.
Do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe take a day off as well before the next event starts. But yeah, it's you're on the road and you kind of just keep training and, you know, wait for the next one. That's the amazing thing about tennis. There's always a tournament next week.
Well, yeah, somewhere in the world.
Is that where there's something to be said, too, for if you go on a run at a tournament, it sometimes helps to have those three setters early on to kind of get your feet underneath you?
People see it both ways. Some players want to try get through matches as quick as they can for the physical aspect later on in a tournament. But, you know, for me, especially at this point, I'll take a win no matter how many sets it takes.
Do you ever watch the Wimbledon final? Do you ever go back and look at it?
I actually haven't. Mm-hmm. I've gone back and watched tapes of specific matches my coach wanted me to,
right.
Whether or not I was playing good and also playing bad and kind of comparing, and old ones, recent ones. But the Wimbledon final was a little bit painful, so I have not seen that one.
Sorry to bring it up. I understand.
So you're implying that you've deliberately not seen that one.
That's correct. In this case, yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we asked this specifically, but is there something in your game right now that you are working on?
Yeah, well, the physical aspect, which we were talking about, is
what's something. To stay healthy.
Stay healthy, and then on top of that, be as strong as possible, because the game has changed so much over the years, and it's much more physical now. Players are spending so much more time in the gym than they used to, so it's a very important thing to do.
Of all the endorsements you do and all the things you've been asked to do, is there one that stands out in particular where you were surprised by the request? Said, well, I wasn't expecting you to ask me to do that or anything like that.
For sure, there are a bunch of those, because I've done some really cool things, you know, thanks to tennis and the opportunities it's given me. One that comes to mind is I went up to the Arctic with Coca-Cola to raise awareness for polar bears. Just recently, I was in New York City with Michelle Wee playing golf, and I've just done so many crazy things around the world that these are memories I'll always have for the rest of my life.
Are you a golfer? Do you play a little?
I had never played until this day. I was slowly getting into it more as I was getting older, because I'm very old at 23.
Yes.
But now I'm obsessed, and she gave me a couple pointers for my swing. That really helped. I think I was okay for someone who had never.
Could you? I was wondering, athletes are athletes, and hand-eye coordination is hand-eye coordination. Could you naturally do it?
I think a little bit. I was happy to see that some athleticness that I have on the tennis court was able to translate onto the golf course. I was worried, but it was there a little bit, and I wanna go play more. I wanna go practice.
Was she good at tennis?
She was.
Yeah.
She said she had played before a little bit, and so she had a good swing. But it was funny because we were comparing the golf swing and the tennis swing, and she...
Very different.
Yes.
And you know, I know this has changed a little bit because there have been some tennis players, world-class tennis players, who've been pretty good golfers. But there was a theory that if you're a tennis player, do not play golf. If you're a golfer, do not play tennis because they are... I mean, golf is basically a leading side game, which is, I assume you hit the ball right-handed.
Yeah.
And you're a right-handed tennis player. And golf is principally a left-handed game, a leading side game. So it can mess up your tennis game and, conversely, could mess up your golf game.
That's interesting because when I was with Michelle, she actually mentioned that if she plays too much tennis, she almost feels like it would mess up her swing, so she doesn't want to. And so that makes me a little bit scared to swing a golf club, but... I mean,
well, you got to have some fun.
Yes,
I mean,
we can live a little.
You just chased her off the golf course,
yeah.
Bob.
Well, you're going to sit inside all day.
No, but you're not going to go out there 5 days a week and play 18 holes and then hit 1,000 golf balls afterwards. You know, to try and get on the LPGA tour, right?
No, maybe when I retire, but
maybe when the tennis
hey,
is over.
There's an
with.
Idea now. No. Exactly.
Well, no, that's never been done, has it? Has anybody ever had a career in those two sports? We've had a few two-sport athletes in our lifetime.
The only person I could probably think of, and I can't remember if she played tennis, was Babe Didrikson.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I can't remember how much. She was obviously a great golfer.
She was a great golfer. But she was an all-round athlete,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Mini golf.
Yeah.
Just play mini golf.
Mini golf's good, yeah.
Yeah, mini golf is good. Rogers Cup coming up. Do you have something between now and then?
I'm playing in Washington, D.C.
Oh, are you?
The week right before Toronto.
What kind of surface is it there? Same.
Yeah. Right now we're in the hard court season, so
right.
I'd like it. Yeah.
And then after that, between the Rogers Cup and the U.S. Open, you in Cincinnati?
Yeah, we have this big event in Cincinnati, and then I'm actually playing in New Haven the week right before U.S. Open and U.S. Open. So really, a big
busy.
Schedule. Yes.
Busy.
We wish you good luck.
Thank you.
You know, it's been a bit rough the last little while for you, both physically and from a performance standpoint. But we know you're working hard at it, and. We got our fingers crossed that all of a sudden the light will go on.
Yeah, you got to just trust if you work hard, it'll come. So
we hope so.
Just trying to work hard.
Thank you for stopping by. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.